RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, as we come to one of the highlight races of the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series season, the first of two visits to the Paperclip, the half-mile short track at Martinsville Speedway for today's event, the STP 500 at the Martinsville Speedway. And looking forward to some short track racing action this afternoon from the NASCAR Cup Series, as it's been a interesting five-race stretch to open up the season, but looking forward to some good old-fashioned short track racing for today's event, and always one of the best events on the schedule. Coming up on today's program, the phone lines are open for you right off the bat here, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Coming up in about 12 minutes here on the program, we're going to talk to the new owner of the Merrittville Speedway, Don Spies. Don purchasing the facility from the Bicknell and Williamson families late last year, and will take over ownership, and their opening day is just a few weeks away, so we'll talk to Don in about 12 minutes. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, the NHRA Maliello Drag Racing Series back in action. They're in Las Vegas this weekend, and we'll talk to Kevin McKenna, who is the senior editor of National Dragster, the longtime publication that covers drag racing in the National Hot Rod Association, so we'll get an update from Kevin on the NHRA season. They're three races into their 2017 schedule. And, of course, as always, as I said already, the phone lines are open, 803-0551, 888-552-550. Anything going on in the world of motorsports that interests you, feel free to chime in here on today's program. You can also tweet us. We're at FastTrack550 on Twitter, also Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. You can talk to us through Facebook as well. As we look as NASCAR again in Martinsville today, and as always, start the program off with that. Kyle Larson on the pole for today's race, fresh off the big win last weekend at Fontana for Larson. After three straight runner-up finishes, your series points leader finally breaks through for his first win of the season, just second of his career. And because of some rain in Martinsville on Friday, qualifying rained out, so they set the field by owner's points, and that means Larson will lead the field to green today alongside Chase Elliott, your top two in points through five races. That means Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski in row two, Joey Logano, Jimmy McMurray in row three, Ryan Blaney, Clint Bowyer in row four, and then Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch round out your top 10 starters. Other notable names, Denny Hamlin starting 12th, the Virginia native, loves racing at his home track. He will roll off 12th today. Casey Kane starts 13th, Kurt Busch 14th. Jimmy Johnson, one of the all-time greats when it comes to Martinsville. Hendrick Motorsports just dominates this racetrack, but his early season struggles have him 17th in points, and that's where he'll roll off today. Daniel Suarez starts 19th today, and Daniel Suarez has a new crew chief after his crew chief that started the season, Adam Rogers, decided to take a leave of absence suddenly this week. It came about the middle of the week, and so Suarez will have a new crew chief today, and that is a tough break for Daniel in his rookie season, you know, getting thrust into the position of driving the 19 car, and he will have to continue on now with a new crew chief after Adam Rogers, who, of course, has worked with Kyle Busch in the past and worked with, Dave Rogers, worked with Carl Edwards, of course, last year. Suarez will now have Scott Graves working for him on top of the pit box. The good news for Suarez, at least these two have some experience together working the Xfinity Series, but Graves has not been a Cup Series crew chief since 2013. So Suarez will have a continuous rookie season with a new crew chief as he starts 19th. Dale Jr. also has struggled to start the season. He starts 21st. Former winner at the Martinsville Speedway. And Matt Kenseth rolls off 25th. Danica Patrick starts 29th. And Danica making news, or should I say hashtag fake news, yesterday because of a social media post hinting at that she might have gotten engaged to boyfriend Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Turns out, nope, April Fool's. She was all pulling our leg as she came out today and said she was just trying to make an April Fool's joke. It was pretty convincing. She had a picture with a big old ring on her hand kissing Ricky, but nope, April Fool's. So Danica still just not engaged to Ricky Stenhouse, but she'll start 29th today. Stenhouse starts 24th. But the talk of the sudden departure of Daniel Suarez's crew chief, Dave Rogers, led me to think about more something I talked about when NASCAR announced the stage format for the new season for the Monster Energy Cup Series and for all three Premier National Series. The stage racing and has it improved the product? And after five races, you give it like I don't know. You don't. I'm not noticing a major shift. In action, I mean, I guess it breaks up the races a little bit, but it's not playing a major effect. Maybe not as big as we thought it would, and I guess that's a little surprising. It does create a little bit of interest at the end of those stages, but really it does not affect the overall product, which goes back to my thought when the stages were announced back in January when NASCAR made the announcement that this would be the race format. Instead of trying to create some interest in the middle of the races, why not just shorten the races? And in fact, why not just shorten the entire season? Because it's obvious that may be where NASCAR needs to go in the future, is to condense their product. There's a with the baseball season starting today, I think opening day is today. You know, there's been a lot of talk about baseball, you know, shortening up their games, trying to keep play moving. The NFL trying to shorten, maybe not the game in general, but try and eliminate some commercials from the broadcasts and everything. You know, trying to keep the event moving along, try and keep it under 3 hours. And that's where I think NASCAR should have gone. Instead of these stages, just shorten the races and lop out that 100 laps in the middle of the race that might be the least exciting part of the afternoon. You know, just make them, instead of 500-mile races, be 400-mile races. And while we're at it, maybe let's shorten the season. I mean, we're starting to hear a lot about burnout in this sport. You look at Carl Edwards, you know, retiring, and now Daniel Suarez's crew chief making this, you know, leave of absence. We're not publicly aware of the reason that Dave Rogers has left Joe Gibbs Racing, but heard some talk this week that, you know, he is a family guy and he liked his days in the Xfinity Series because he could go home on Sunday and be with his family. And now, being a Cup Series crew chief, he doesn't have that luxury. He has to be at the track Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So do we look at, you know, shortening the schedule, not only shortening the races, but maybe shortening the length of the season? And I hear it all the time from my Sabres Radio Network colleague Brian Koziel, who will be on at 2 o'clock today with Sabres Pregame, always razzing me about how long the NASCAR season is and that it's way too long, and, you know, they shouldn't go into the fall and go against football and everything. And I always have to try and, you know, and just, you know, shrug it off and just say, yeah, Brian, okay, tell me how long the PGA season is, by the way. But it for me, it's not even about that they shouldn't compete with the NFL. I don't, you know, again, I stopped caring about ratings as much as so many people in the sport do for some reason, that people, in especially fans on social media, seem to be obsessed with how NASCAR does in the ratings. I don't care about them competing against the NFL. Yeah, it means I don't get to do my show because the Bills are on. I guess that's the one thing I don't like. But really, I don't, if you know, them going against the NFL on Sunday is fine, whatever. You know, I've got a good system where I can watch the kickoff to the 1 o'clock games, and usually by halftime I can catch the start of the race. But it's not even that, but maybe just shorten the season to lengthen the careers of some of your stars at this point, because of the demands of a 36 race, you know, 38 weekend season. If you throw in the All-Star race and the Clash and everything, you know, you got 40 weeks, really 36 points paying events. You know, maybe it's time to look at shortening that season to you know, third to 30 to 28 races and get done by Labor Day or get done by, you know, mid-September or something? Or is it moving some races to midweek events and maybe you're running more than, you know, you're running a more condensed schedule? Maybe you're running just as many events but condense the schedule a little bit by throwing some midweek races in there. To try and generate interest. A lot of talk about, you know, midweek races. That's what seems like the TV partners want, that so they're not going against everything on the weekend. You know, you find a Wednesday night where there's not much going on, whether it's the after the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament or the baseball all-star break. You know, you find something where there's a lull in the national sports schedule and you tuck a Wednesday night race in somewhere. A lot of talk with Martinsville, with now that they've got lights at Martinsville, if you haven't heard yet this week. We won't see them in use today. It's no rain delay or anything is going to happen at Martinsville today, but now they do have lights and that opens up a lot of interesting things for the Martinsville Speedway. You know, move the all-star race to Martinsville, run it at night, run it on a Wednesday night, run a midweek race at Martinsville under the nights. I would love to see a modified race under the lights there at Martinsville. But all these things being discussed because to freshen up the product and to maybe, again, you know, take some wear and tear out of not only the drivers, but the crews and all the support people that are also part of this traveling circus for NASCAR that run these 36 events every year. If there's an outcry enough from the garage about people getting burned out, you know, do we need to shorten the schedule? And again, also shorten the races. I mean, you look at the schedule. I mean, do we need to run, you know, 500 miles at Texas next weekend? Did we need to run 500 miles? Do we even need 500 miles at Atlanta? That didn't need to be a 500-mile race. You know, that should be 400. I mean, these mile-and-a-half tracks, they don't need – can we cut these down to 300, 400-mile events? You know, we've seen some tracks cut mileage out of their events, and it's helped. I mean, we talk about the Auto Club, Fontana, they shortened their races. That helped the product immensely. Pocono has shortened their events as well, too, a little bit, and that's helped. Dover, you know, all these tracks that a 400, 500-mile event that drags out to 4 hours. In this day and age, you know, we don't need to be in four-hour television windows, you know, just an event that, you know, might not hold its audience throughout. So I would definitely be for shortening instead of going with that stage format, but, you know, it's obviously in place. But instead of that, look for a way to shorten the races as much as you can and shorten the schedule, too. As much as I might have been against it in the past, I think that might be something we need to start to look at, whether it's either lopping off races or just trying to take a few more weeks out of the schedule as well, too. Excuse me about that. Didn't mean to have my phone tones on here this morning. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We'll get back on that topic, especially if you want to give your take here. Again, phone lines are open, but we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in the new owner of the Merrittville Speedway. Don Spies is on the line. Don, it's Dave Buchanan in Buffalo. Good morning, and congratulations on your new little venture up there in Thorold, Ontario.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Don, of course, a former racer. He's won at the Merrittville Speedway. So obviously you had an interest in the sport, but what made you want to take the big leap from being a driver to being a track owner?
I figured maybe instead of spending some money, maybe I could make a couple bucks. No, I love the racetrack. I've been there all my life. My dad raced there. So it's a passion. Either you have it or you don't, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, it was no secret that the Bicknell and Williamson families were looking to sell the Merrittville Speedway. It was pretty much a known fact. They were advertising that the track was for sale the last couple of years. How long before you went through with the purchase, how long had you been possibly interested in looking into to taking over the reins of Merrittville Speedway?
I actually thought about it probably for about 5 to 8 years. And you just got to try and get all the financing in order to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, your day job is dealing in real estate, so this was probably for someone to make it a purchase like this, you're probably the right type of person because you know the ins and outs of the dealings to make a purchase like this.
Yeah, and you got to prepare for it, right? I didn't plan it just overnight.
Sure.
It was a couple years at least that I seriously wanted it, and I just sat back and tried to get everything in line.
Now that you've taken ownership, the winter is, it looks like it's finally over. We hope, hopefully, no crazy lake effect storms here over the next couple of weeks. But now the snow has melted and you've been able to kind of take inventory on everything, how does the facility stand up? I know the Bicknells and Williamsons, they did so much work to it in their years of ownership. But have you been able to get a grasp on everything, and have you taken stock of what you might want to do to the racetrack now that it's in your hands?
Well, there's quite a bit that we want to do, but right now we're working changing seating.
Mm-hmm.
I got a whole bunch of people out there that volunteered their help, and we're changing all the boards that need to be changed. We've already packed the track in last week. Track's actually race ready pretty much. I can't believe it. We have a few things that we're going to do through the year to make it different, but all in all, it's a pretty amazing facility already, right?
Oh, I agree. I love whenever I could get a chance to get up there, whether it's for a Saturday night or, you know, the Bob St. Amand Memorial Race in August. Always a phenomenal facility. I've enjoyed the nights I've got chances to help out with the announcing crew and everything. Don Spies, the owner of Merrittville Speedway, joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. And opening day, Don, is quickly coming around the corner. You've got a practice session on April 15th, and then you've got maybe the best early season show on the local racing calendar, your opening day, when you've got the Patriot Sprints and the Modifieds in one night. You guys kick off the season with a bang.
Yeah, it is amazing, and then the attendance is amazing on that first night. So, you know, Merrittville is just an amazing track, and it's an amazing following. Like, the people just come, it's amazing.
What else are you looking forward to this season? I know you got some big shows coming up later in the year, too.
I have a little thing that I'm doing. I'm building, it's called a tram. It's for the kids, and it's going to go every night into the pits with the kids and their parents to be able to go see the drivers and maybe get autographs and, you know, ride it back through into the grandstand. So I'm trying to make it more kid friendly and make it so the kids want to be there.
That is a huge thing that short track promoters are facing right now, Don. I know you've only been on the job here a few months, but that seems like being to connect with that generation that have been born with cell phones in their hands and everything. That seems like that is the great riddle in short track racing, how best to market to kids these days.
Yeah, we have to do something, because I was born with a wrench in my hand. They're born with a phone in their hand. It's two different things.
How about the competition stacking up this year? The modified division at Merrittville is one of the best. Even though Pete won't be running the place, I'm sure he'll be back there driving, and he's going to have a lot of stiff competition once again this year.
Yeah, we have Larry Lampman Jr. coming back. We have Greg Ponente coming back, and hopefully there's a few other ones coming back.
Yeah, guys like Gary Lindberg, Ryan Soucy, Chad Brockman, Mike Bowman. And actually, you're going to have Matt Williamson back this year, too, running on a weekly basis. He's been doing a lot of big block stuff lately. I'm sure it's great to have Matt back on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I feel it's going to be, the modified is going to be a tough division. You ain't going to get people getting 3-4 wins in a season, I don't think. It's going to be a tough deal.
Well, Don, great chance to talk with you. I look forward to meeting you in person sometime this season, but best of luck this year. I really love the facility, and I'm glad it's in good hands with another former racer, and hopefully many good more good years to come at the Merrittville Speedway.
Thank you very much.
All right, Don Spies from the Merrittville Speedway joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. For more information, you can go to merrittvillespeedway.com. And, their season opener is April 22nd. They'll have the Patriot Sprint Tour, plus their weekly modifieds and sportsman divisions. It's a phenomenal opening night program. Actually, you can take a great day-night doubleheader to kick off the racing season here in the region. As Lancaster is a 2 o'clock start, and then, you know, by the time that gets done, you could cross the border and see a good show at Merrittville, too. They also have their 358 Bryan Stevens Memorial Race on May 22nd. And then, of course, they have the Super Dirt Car Series, the Big Block Modifieds, the Bob St. Amand Memorial 100. That is always one of the shows of the year in local racing. That is on August the 7th as well, too. And that is always a fun night because they always love to bring the modifieds and stage them down in front of the grandstands before to fire the engines and everything. The fans, you know, are right there in front of the race cars, and they fire up those Big Block Modifieds. It's always a spectacle every year they do it. And of course, they run every Saturday night during the racing season, and look forward to things continue on. The Bicknell Williamson families, you know, they didn't just here's the keys and take off. They helped Don out, especially Erica Bicknell Jones, who we've had here on the program. Usually we have her on to talk about Merrittville. She's been the general manager there for the last over a decade and helped Don out and got them up to speed and helped out getting the sponsorships renewed for the 2017 season. So, it was a really great, you know, changing of the guard over there. Not just they just handed them the keys and took off, but they eased them into it, I guess you could say, and they're going to be ready to go. They've got practice just a couple of weeks away. A couple more minutes here. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here. If you want to get back on our discussion about the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series schedule and just the length of the schedule and the burnout that we are starting to hear more and more about. Not that guys didn't get burnt on the past, but now you're seeing the retirement of Carl Edwards and even Jeff Gordon's retirement, although part of that was linked to his back, and now Dave Rogers, who's the crew chief for Daniel Suarez, him all of a sudden pulling out of Joe Gibbs Racing for personal reasons, it just seems like this topic gets discussed more and more, especially going into each season, that is the NASCAR schedule too long? And I used to be a defender of it and say that, it's a good length. It's just something I've always run this long. You know, you even go back to when they used to run at Riverside, California. They'd run at Riverside in January before the Daytona 500, and that's where the season would start. So they'd almost go, you know, January to November, when they used to run at Riverside, California on the road course. But it seems like now that there might be too much product and, it's taking too much of a strain on the teams that support the series. And maybe it's time to look at cutting at least maybe a couple of weeks out of the season. Of course, the hard part is dealing with the tracks. You know, all these tracks have these 5-year sanctioning agreements. I think we're on year two of that. You know, they've got deals in place with NASCAR. So how do you get, how would you take away the race dates? You know, which dates would you take away? I mean, do you take one of Pocono's dates away, one of Dover's dates away, one of Charlotte's? You know, you'd look at some of the tracks that have two races. Where would those races come from and everything? But I think it starts first, start first with shortening the races, and then, it might not be we might be a couple of years away, but, start to see if we could, if they can shorten the season somewhat and get done earlier. Getting done by Labor Day obviously is something that some people would like to see before the start of the NFL season. I'm not concerned about that as much, but just to take maybe a month or two off the season so everybody can get back and recharge their batteries after the season before they go back to Daytona in February. And some of that has been fixed too. They get rid of the preseason thunder testing in Daytona, so I mean teams aren't getting back on the track until they get to Daytona in February instead of having to go for a January test session. Although you might get a tire test session in January or early February for a couple of teams, but not the whole garage needing to be there at a preseason thunder like they used to do at Daytona. So they have, trimmed some of the preseason workload off in recent years, but still the 36 weeks of points paying races and, 38 weeks if you include the Clash and the All-Star race and everything. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. When we get back, a little straight line racing, NHRA, there in Las Vegas this weekend. We'll talk to Kevin McKenna from National Dragster. We get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hey, this is Eric Amarola, driver of the number 43 Smithfield Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
One of the best parts about the Martinsville races is Richard Petty Motorsports and Eric Almirola's car, because they always have the STP logo back on the Petty 43, and it's always awesome to see the old Petty Blue and the STP reddish orange color back together on a race car, and they have a more modern looking take on it instead of a retro take on it, but it still looks outstanding just to see those colors back together on the racetrack. Eric Almirola rolls off 18th today, smack dab in the middle of the field for today's STP 500. Only 38 cars, by the way, will take the green flag, a short field. 40 is, of course, the maximum, but we've had 40 and 39 in the first five races this year, but only 38 showed up at Martinsville. Again, when you're only getting 1 point from 36th through 40th, just not worth it for some teams to make the tow to Martinsville. So, but a short field today for the cup race at Martinsville. The trucks were in action yesterday. That's also one of the best parts about Martinsville weekends is the truck races. And last night or yesterday was no exception as Chase Elliott went down there and beat the truck boys, getting the win over teammate Johnny Sauter. Christopher Bell finished in third. Noah Gregson, a young hot shoe for Kyle Busch Motorsports, finishing fourth. And Ty Dillon rounded out the top five. Then it was Brett Moffitt, Ross Chastain, Timothy Peters, Matt Crafton, and Ryan Truex in the top 10. Stuart Friesen, of course, from Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, making his first Martinsville start, qualified 18th, but wound up 25th, three laps down. Unfortunately for Stuart, he had to make an unscheduled pit stop about halfway through the race. He was as high as ninth at one point, but unfortunately did finish the race, though, kept the truck in one piece for the most part, and finish in 25th as Stewart tackling his first full season in the Camping World Truck Series. Again, NHRA in action this weekend at Las Vegas. And we're going to talk to Kevin McKenna here from National Dragster in just a moment. Steve Torrance, the top qualifier in Top Fuel. Courtney Force, top qualifier in Nitro Funny Car. And no surprise in Pro Stock with Jason Lyon, your number one qualifier for elimination today. And with that, we'll go back to the AT&T hotline and bring in the senior editor for National Dragster, one of the great publications of motorsports. Senior editor Kevin McKenna joins us on the line. Kevin, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Hey, how are you guys doing back east there?
We are doing just fine. Thanks for getting up early to talk to us, Kevin. And, of course, being out west, it's a little bit earlier than 11:30 here in western New York. Las Vegas, let's start off just talking about Vegas in general. I know you're not local to the market, but just maybe from your own perception, a lot of talk about Las Vegas in the sports world lately, Kevin. They're getting a second NASCAR race next year. They're getting an NHL team next year. They're getting now an NFL team in 2020. Where does the NHRA event in Las Vegas fall on the sports landscape out there in Sin City?
Well, it's funny. The running joke out here yesterday was that what took NASCAR so long, we've had two events here for the better part of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a motorsports town. You know, the interesting thing out here for the two Vegas races, the fall race has always been really a home run. It's right around the SEMA show. It's late in the year. You have points battles going on. The spring race has maybe not been quite as successful, but yesterday we had a really, really nice crowd in here. The weather was great. You know, all the winds and the rain from Friday were gone, and yesterday was a really good day at the races. So, you know, that gives you a lot of hope that this is a sports town and they will support basically any form of good entertainment that you throw at them.
Yeah, and of course, not only is it the locals supporting it, but obviously the tourist dollars, of course, too. And Las Vegas being a destination city, not only we can go for the race, but you know you can go gamble some money as well too. So that's the added bonus of having a major event in Las Vegas. Three races in, Kevin, to the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, and one of the top stories so far has been in Top Fuel. Leah Pritchett, she got off to a hot start. She went 2-for-2 to open the season, winning the two races out west in Arizona and, of course, the Winter Nationals in Pomona. Last year she lost her ride when Bob Vandegrift Racing folded, but now she's back this year with the Papa John sponsorship. Talk about Leah and her shots here. Is she going to be a major threat for the championship this year in Top Fuel?
Oh, absolutely. We've known for a long time that Leah can drive. She was great in the Nostalgia car. She was great in the Pro Mod car. She just needed a stable environment. And after a few bumps in the road, it looks like she finally has that. That car is, you know, as good as any car in the Schumacher stable. They proved it here the first couple races, and the one thing that helps is she's not only talented, but she's a light driver, and we're seeing that where that car generally runs in the early part of the track as good as anyone out there, and obviously with her talent, she is going to be in this to the end, I believe.
And yeah, she's got some stiff competition. I mean, you know, right behind her in the standing, in Tony Schumacher and Antron Brown. Who else in the Top Fuel field do you think we need to keep an eye on this year?
We have not yet seen the full potential of the Kalitta cars.
Mm.
You know, Troy Coughlin Jr., you know, he's a rookie. He's going to probably take his lumps here for the first half. But, you know, Doug Kalitta, you can just chalk that up to bad luck. I mean, I believe that car has run in the 360s at every event, you know, the first three events anyway, and they don't have anything to show for it. His day is coming. Obviously, with Brittany Force and Torrance, they're both tuned by Alan Johnson. They're not going to linger around back of the pack for long. So, you know, as far as competition for the Schumacher cars, there you go. I think those two teams, they will be there as well.
Over in Funny Car, of course, the big story was a couple of weeks ago when John Force Racing decided, you know, pretty much swap everything, including the decals on the hauler, between John Force and Robert Hight. And at least on the short term so far, that move paid off because John Force went out and won at the Gator Nationals last couple of weeks ago in the last national event. How big in the industry was a surprise that move was for John Force Racing?
A surprise? I don't know so much. I think if you look historically, I mean, Schumacher has not hesitated to move crew chiefs around when need be. You've had other teams that have made swaps if necessary. It's what you do to stay ahead. And, you know, my understanding is that John had a little help with that decision. I think Austin Coyle, you know, who he now communicates with fairly regularly, I think Austin said, what are you doing? You know, you need to swap those guys. You need to, you know, put your talent where it's best used. And, you know, with Mike Neff and Jimmy Prock, I think he's got the right pegs in the right holes now. And if you look, all three of those cars are very quick.
And it's just another chapter, I guess, a nice rivalry right now going on in Funny Car between the John Force cars and the Don Schumacher cars. I know, I think things got a little testy earlier this year at the Winter Nationals between John and Don, but that seems to be the major rivalry in the sport right now.
It is. It's kind of amusing to hear Don Schumacher call somebody out for spending too much money. It's, you know, he has a point to a degree about, you know, we want to keep the sport healthy. We want to keep as many cars out here as possible. So I get that part. But, you know, as they say, all's fair in love, war, and drag racing. I think, you know, you do what you need to do to win, to keep your sponsors happy. And that's certainly what John Force has done throughout his career.
Over in Pro Stock, it seems hard the last couple of years to catch the Summit Camaros of Greg Anderson and Jason Lyne. You know, we saw Erica Enders win a championship a couple of years ago, but she has struggled a little bit, I guess, since winning the championship. Is there somebody you think that can step up and take a run at these guys this year?
Yeah, it's the gap has narrowed considerably since last year. If you look, you know, Shane Gray obviously won Gainesville, and you know, he didn't win it on luck. You know, that car runs good. His son Tanner is the real deal. That kid is going to win multiple races and probably multiple championships before he's done. I am really impressed with him. And then obviously you mentioned Erica and the Elite team. You know, their move back to the Chevy Camaro. They may still be just a tick behind the pace, but it's coming. You know, we've seen here the first four events. They get a little better. I believe Jeg is the number two qualifier out here. So, it's not going to be long before they start winning races. Wouldn't surprise me if Erica or Jeg actually won here today.
Kevin McKenna from National Dragster joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. Kevin, looking overall at the picture for the NHRA, it seems like things are on an uptick for the sport. The new website looks phenomenal. And one of the big things has been the TV partner in Fox. And this is year number two for the television deal with Fox, and I really enjoy the broadcasts on Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1 and Fox, especially when they do the live telecast. It's really gotten me back to making sure I'm in front of the TV when NHRA comes on.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and obviously we knew we needed to make a change. And really, I mean, to be considered a major league sport, you have to have your events live. So it was really just a matter of finding a process where we could do that. You know, drag racing doesn't necessarily lend itself well to a live format just because of the possibility of delays. But, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of addressing that problem, and it's shown in the ratings. It's also shown with, you know, some of the new sponsors. You know, I think you could definitely look at a deal like Papa John's and their involvement. And, you know, I don't know that they would have done, you know, gotten in on the level they did if it wasn't for our TV package. So, yeah, it's moving the needle, and hopefully just a good sign of things to come.
Kevin, last thing before we let you go, Western New York does have some great ties to drag racing. I mean, you look at Mike Janis, Freddie Hahn, and a couple Pro Modified guys. But we've got Dan Fletcher, who's from Churchville, which is kind of like between here in Rochester, a little bit closer to Rochester. But he is on the precipice of some major history. He's been chasing now since the start of this year that 100th national event win. Just put it in perspective for our listeners how big of a deal it is to reach the 100 mark when it comes to wins and some of the company he'll join when he gets there.
Yeah, it's almost hard to put it into perspective because NHRA has been around for more than 60 years, and it's only been done twice so far. You know, Dan would be the third guy joining John Force and Frank Manzo. It's incredible, and to think that he does this on a sportsman level, he's basically a family guy who just one day up and quit his job to become a professional racer. And to see him at 99 wins is amazing. He's going to get the 100th, probably. If he doesn't do it in the next 30 days, I'll be shocked. That'll be a major milestone. So he's an impressive guy.
Yeah, he has a shot this weekend in Vegas. He lost in round one in Super Comp, but is still in round two, a competition eliminator, so he's still on it. We've had him on the show here in the past, and we've been monitoring his progress, and it was so great to see him get that 99th win to round out last year, and now just one away from 100. Kevin, before we wrap up here, one other event that I love to talk about every year, and it's the 4Y Nationals, and it's about a month away, at the end of April there at Charlotte. As an outsider, as someone that follows stock, I'll admit I follow stock car racing a lot more than drag racing, but the 4Wide event has become such a huge deal for me. It's a novel concept, which probably makes it more interesting, but it seems like it's going to stay on the schedule here for years to come. Would that be a correct assumption that it's kind of found a home in the industry?
Yeah, I think so. When it first came out, I think a lot of racers and even fans viewed it as kind of a novelty. But it's now grown into something, very different. The only place right now you can see it is Charlotte. And I think for the drivers, you talk to the pro racers and they want to win it because it is a unique challenge. It's kind of like a feather in your cap, and if you're a NASCAR guy, you want to win on a road course. You want to win on a super speedway.
Mm.
And that's kind of the parallel that you would draw to drag racers. You talk to a guy like Ron Capps, and Capps says, I want to win the 4Wide. That's like winning Indy. My career won't be complete until I do it. And as far as fan value, it's amazing to see, in excess of 40,000 horsepower at once. And the other thing we are doing this year is we're going to run Pro Mods 4Wide, and that class is insane in a 2Wide format. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like when, we put four of those cars on the starting line at once. It's definitely something you wouldn't want to miss.
I forgot it. That's right. I did hear that earlier this year. That should be exciting. Hopefully Mike Janis has some good luck in Charlotte about a month from now. Kevin, thank you so much for the time. Again, I know it's an early call for you out there in Vegas, especially on race day. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
I'm happy to do it anytime. Appreciate it.
All right. Kevin McKenna from National Dragster and NHRA.com. He is the senior editor. You can also follow him on Twitter, and he is at That Guy KMAC, That Guy KMAC. If you want to follow Kevin on Twitter and get his thoughts from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. When we come back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. Open phone lines for the last segment. If you want to get in about drag racing or maybe our talk earlier about shortening the NASCAR season, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We'll be back to wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Hey, race fans, it's Dave Buchanan for my friends at Batavia Downs, and you've got to discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, as they have over 800 of the hottest and in-demand video gaming machines, tons of great titles with new ones being added all the time. And of course, now you can make it a night to remember, because not only can you check out one of their great restaurants, but you can also stay overnight at Batavia Downs at their brand new hotel. And you can do all that while wagering on live harness racing too. April is Rainmaker Month at Batavia Downs Gaming. They'll put one person each Saturday into their Rainmaker Cash Cube to win cash and free play. They also have a Niagara Wine Trail event coming up on April 8th. And check out a country concert performance from Runaway June on April 21st. More information available on their website, BataviaDownsGaming.com. While you're at Batavia Downs, of course, mention the great restaurants. And one of those is 34 Rush, Thurman Thomas, the sports bar right inside Batavia Downs Gaming. Baseball season starting up. The hockey playoffs are around the corner. Racing, of course. Horse and car racing. You can watch it all on all the TVs they have there at 34 Rush and have some great food and some fine adult beverages while you're there as well, too. And you can, of course, wager on the harness racing while you from inside 34 Rush as well, too. Just a great place. Always enjoy getting a chance to check out 34 Rush at Batavia Downs. Batavia Downs Gaming is open every day from 8 a.m. until 4 a.m., and you can't miss them. They're right off the three-way exit 48 in Batavia. For more information, be sure to follow Batavia Downs Gaming on Facebook and Twitter for updated info and all promotions, and discover why Batavia Downs Gaming is the area's premier entertainment destination, and tell them you heard about them right here on Fast Track.
Hi, this is Danica Patrick, driver of the number 10 Ford Fusion. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
The not engaged Danica Patrick. It was an April Fool's joke, in case you saw her social media post yesterday. She came out this morning and said, yeah, April Fool's. Oh, darn. Well, she's got to make news somehow, I guess, because she doesn't do it with her driving. Oh, rim shot. 11:52 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan wrapping up WGR's Fast Track. Phone lines open here to round out the program. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Don't forget today's race. If you're looking for it on the TV, it is on Fox Sports 1. It's on the cable channel, not the network. So be sure to tune into the correct channel. Green flag is about 2:17 this afternoon. If you don't want to, you know, see Michael Waltrip's gridwalk and everything, you know, you just wait till 2:17 and then put on Fox Sports 1 and you'll be doing just fine. Stages today, the first two stages will each be 130 laps. So that'll get you just past halfway for the third and final stage, which will be 240 laps in distance for today's race at Martinsville. Tony Stewart news coming up over the past week. First of all, last night, Tony Stewart got a sprint car win, his first one in a long time. I don't know exactly how long, but it definitely his first since the Kevin Ward incident back in 2014, and his first since retiring from the Cup Series. He won down in Florida at Bubba Raceway Park, a racetrack owned by radio personality Bubba the Love Sponge. Tony Stewart got the win there last night in a U.S. CS sprint car event. Of course, Tony gonna have a lot more time. Not now that he's retired from being a NASCAR driver, still a car owner, of course, has a little more time on his hands. So he's gonna be doing a lot more sprint car racing and maybe some other types of racing in his retired years. Although the sprint car schedule, like a little bit of hiccup back in Speed Weeks when he was trying to run down at Volusia and some of the other sprint car races during Speed Weeks, trying to run the sprint car series that he owns, the All-Star Circuit of Champions, while racing at the same time got to be too much, and he actually pulled out of an event because of it. But he got back behind the wheel last night and got the win at Bubba Raceway Park down in Florida. There also was some other Tony Stewart news. Speaking of the Kevin Ward incident, Stewart and his legal team, they're looking to have various portions of the lawsuit dismissed, the claims brought by the Kevin Ward's parents, trying to get those thrown out. And actually, Bob Pockrass had a report on ESPN.com and actually had some quotes from some of the testimony in the civil trial relating to Stewart and Kevin Ward. And it seems like a lot of the witness testimony and a lot of the expert evidence, at least that was released to the public, a lot of this is starting to lean towards the fact that there wasn't malicious intent in Stewart hitting Kevin Ward on the racetrack in Canandaigua back in 2014, but in fact that Tony likely did not see Kevin until it was too late, and Tony tried to turn away from him, and that's when he struck him with the sprint car, which ultimately led to Kevin Ward's death, sadly. But it looks like that they're trying to get some of this lawsuit thrown out, and just reading some of the quotes that Bob Pockrass had in his report that came from the testimony, including some experts and also people who were on the track, including a corner worker at Canandaigua and also Chuck Hebing, who was in that race. You know, they really made it sound like that Tony couldn't see Kevin, or if he did, he didn't have enough time to get out of the way. So we'll see how that continues as Tony looks to put that chapter of his past behind him and go forward as a NASCAR team owner and now a retired NASCAR driver, which means a lot more time to do sprint car racing like he did and got his first win last night. I haven't heard if he's making any, I don't know if he's got, he doesn't have his full schedule out, but so far no word if he's doing anything real close here to the Western New York area. you know, if with any Outlaws dates or if the All-Star Circuit at Champions events that get into New York State and everything. I haven't heard if Tony's been booked for any dates. There's also a lot of hot rumors floating around the Oswego Speedway that Tony might be get behind the wheel of a super modified sometime. We'll have to see if that develops as well, too. But wouldn't be surprised if Tony winds up at a racetrack somewhere close to Buffalo in the near future. The local racing season that we talked about with Don Spies out of Merrittville Speedway, it's just around the corner, and it's even closer than you think because both Merrittville and now Lancaster have practice sessions scheduled for April 15th, so we're 2 weeks away from seeing race cars on the racetrack here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. Even though it's just for practice, it's still, you know, good to get back to the track and hear the noises, hear the roar, and smell the fuel and all that good stuff. But Lancaster announcing yesterday that they've added a stock car practice for April 15th, and Merrittville also has a practice session scheduled that day as well, too. So we're just 2 weeks away now from seeing some on-track action. That'll be, of course, the day before Easter, Easter weekend. You could, weather permitting, see some on-track action here at our local speedways. Can't wait. That'll do it for us here today on Fast Track. We'll be back next Sunday at 11 a.m. Don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock today, Sabres pregame with my buddy Brian Koziel and Sabres Islanders face-off just after 3 o'clock here. So stay tuned to WGR all day long for that. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.